Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? Knowing God loves somebody. He loves you.
Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I'm wonderful, wonderful. Thank you.
Along with my friend and mentor, Dr. G. Dr. G, how you doing?
We are blessed.
Thank you for joining us tonight for another exciting Bible study.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Tonight we're going to be talking about pulling it all together, tying it all together. Many times we study the Bible, you study a chapter here, study a chapter here, and a lot of times it just doesn't make sense. So we're going to try to go through systematically and try to tie this whole story together about the way Jesus came into having to die on Calvary's cross and what was meant by him having to die for the sins of the world. So we're going to try to tie all that in. Hopefully everyone's had a great Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, a lot of times on Easter Sunday, you do a lot of preaching, you do a lot of praising, you do a lot of worshiping. But we want to try to really get into, you know, what really happened to mankind or us so that Jesus had to die for our sins. So we're going to take a look at that a little closer, beginning in the book of Genesis, and try to walk it all the way through to where he actually died on the cross. So that's what we're going to be trying to do. Probably take us a few weeks to get to it, but we want everyone to have a greater understanding of, you know, this whole process and not be confused. So let us open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we bow, God, and thank you for this, another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we would be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, O God, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We ask you to bless us, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that this would be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so, Sheila G., when we look at, you know, the end point where we're talking about, why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to go to Calvary's cross? And we say that it was because of humans like you and I that messed up.
Yeah. Hmm.
And so the basis of where we start is that we were messed up. And we were messed up, and we couldn't get ourselves out of trouble. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at our relationship with God based upon that God loves us enough that he looked past our faults and he saw our need. And he introduced to us what we call an agape, or some people say agape love, which means that he loves us in spite of what situation we're in.
Right.
Unlike us.
Conditional.
Who are conditional. Mm-hmm. In other words, as long as you're treating me okay, as long as you're giving me attention, as long as you're treating me with some type of respect, I'm going to love you back.
Right.
But God loved us in spite of us, that even though we messed up, he still was willing to put a plan into action to bring us back into the right relationship with him. And so this whole thing why Jesus had to die is it's a relationship thing.
Right.
If we don't have the proper relationship with God, it's like we're dead.
Right.
And God created us to have relationship with him. And so because he created us to have relationship with him, he was willing to die to be able to continue that relationship with us. And I ask the question to people all the time, you know, how far are you willing to go into a relationship?
Huh.
How far are you willing to, what are you willing to put up in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
What are you willing to deal with in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of people say, well, I ain't going to put up with that.
True.
You got one time.
Amen.
And then the ladies, they shake their head like that. You got one time. And they do their hand like that. You got one time.
Oh, right.
That's all it's going to take. You got one time, and then that's going to be your last time. I can see my wife. I can see my wife when she does that, and that's going to be your last time. And then she said, if you want to tell the lie, let's tell it right.
Come on.
They got this thing going on. But God didn't have that attitude, because if God had that attitude with us,
watch out.
Be sure.
Yeah, amen. We wouldn't be here.
Amen? But we need to understand that the Bible, Dr. Gregory, is teaching us about relationships.
Amen.
Right.
A relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
and relationship with each other.
Right.
And so based upon these two things, what the Bible portrays, a picture of Jesus being obedient to God to restore relationship between God and between mankind. So when you look at the Bible, you say, what is the Bible? It's the Bible is a book that teaches about relationships between God and between each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at Nothing New Under the Sun today we're still dealing with our relationship with each other,
yes.
and our relationship with God.
Yeah.
And you can't have one without the other, because if you don't have a relationship with God, then you don't know how to, we don't know how to treat each other.
That is correct.
That's right.
And so if we don't know how to treat each other, then we can't have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And so it's all encompassing. And so when we look at God, and we go back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and you look at verse 26, Genesis 1:26, and here God is saying, I want to create some folk to have relationship with. And people ask the question, well, why did God want to have a relationship? I don't know.
I'm not God.
But God wants to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you want to hook up with your husband?
I don't know.
Why did you want to hook up with your wife?
All right.
You know, why did I want to hook up with my wife? Why did she want to hook up with me? I don't know.
Amen.
You know, it's something where, but God, he said in verse Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God created a human race that had a man and a woman in it.
Right.
We're not even going there tonight.
Amen.
I hear you chuckling already. We're not even going there. We're not even going there. A man and a woman.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Gregory.
We're
not gonna go there tonight.
We won't touch.
All right. So the Bible says that God created this man and this woman, and And he wanted to have relationships, so he created them in his likeness and his image. So when we look at each other, we can see God in each other.
Amen.
So when you look at me, as bad as I might look, I still got a little piece of God in me.
That's right.
So you got to love me because I look like God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That should take anybody out of depression and image
Amen.
Problem.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Because I look like God.
Well.
Right. I look like God. So what? Why are you trying to talk to me? I look like God. And so God said, I want to have a relationship with you. I'm going to make you in my likeness. I'm going to make you in my image. And I want you to look like me. And so God wants you to have a relationship with him. And so what God did was he said, all right, I want you to have a relationship, but I'm not just going to have you in my presence, but I'm going to give you something to do, and I want you to have dominion. And see, that's what the enemy, he didn't like. He didn't like that we had a relationship with God, even mm-hmm. though we were made a little lower than the angels, Sheila.
Right.
And so, you know, the angels were like, who are these people? Who are these people that mm-hmm. God made after us? We created angels, we created beings, and now God makes man, gives him an earth and a planet, and gives him dominion over that. And so the angels felt shorted.
Mm-hmm.
But God wanted to have a relationship, so he created the world, he put the man, he put the woman in there, and so he said, let me have a relationship. But in order for me to have a relationship, God says, I got to give them something that's going to set them apart, that makes them unique, that doesn't make them a robot, mm-hmm. that gives them the ability to rationalize and make mm-hmm. choices. And so what God did was when he formed them, he put a life in them, and then man became a living soul.
Amen.
Right.
With the ability to choose and rationalize from wrong, right, and wrong. And so if you go over to verse 7, Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Oh.
And so that means that every one of us uniquely have a body and have a soul that's able to have relationship with God and relationship with each other.
Amen.
Right.
Is everybody tracking with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. We were made in his likeness. Made in his image, male and female. And God said, we're going to get this body, we're going to blow in it, and you have a living soul. And so now we have a relationship with God, relationship with each other. With each, everything's perfect. We having dominion over the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. We rolling.
Right.
Talking to God, God talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
Everything set up just the way God likes it. Right?
Right.
How many times you know? Just when everything's perfect. The enemy tried to throw a monkey in the world.
Some trouble.
Is that right?
That is so right.
So you ask the question, God, why couldn't it be like that? Because God wanted his creation to love him without putting a computer chip in them and having it robotic. See, that's the thing about a relationship, Sheila G., is that you want someone to love you for you, and you want to love them and respond back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They say that's one of the most powerful things about a woman is that she wants to be loved and she wants to have someone to love.
Right.
That's one of the most powerful things of a woman. Sometimes men get it a little messed up. But a woman is satisfied and she's happy when someone loves her and she can express
her
love.
Amen. As well.
And that's an expression of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That he didn't want us to be robots and make us and say, we must love God, we must love God,
mm-hmm.
we must love God. Because that's not a relationship. A relationship is that we develop a connection in a relationship with each other where the love develops because we have this relationship.
Right.
And so when man became a living soul, this was the perfect relationship. You and I, God, everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden. So that's the basis points where we started. We were created in his image. God wanted a relationship with us. He wanted us to have a relationship together. And this is his idea of having a heaven and a kingdom and a dominion on earth. But what happened?
The devil got busy.
What happened was the enemy saw the boundaries that God had given us, and because he failed in keeping the boundaries that God gave him, he wanted us to fail in the boundaries that God gave us.
Misery loves company.
Misery loves company. So he said, what are the boundaries that God gave us? Let's look at Genesis 2:16. In Genesis 2:16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And verse 17 says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what?
Surely die.
And so God gave the boundaries in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that's in a relationship, you know that there's certain boundaries. I don't know any relationship where everything goes.
Right.
There's a boundary in every relationship.
Right. Yeah.
Sheila G, what kind of boundaries do you have with your children?
Respect.
Hello.
Respect.
Obedience.
There are certain things that you're going to allow Dr. G for your children to do in your house.
That's right.
That's right. When they got to go.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
That's right.
There's certain things in a husband and a wife relationship that you're going to do in your husband and wife relationship.
That's right.
The woman's not going to say, I'm going to commit to be your wife and submit unto you, and you going to just go do whatever you want to do with 4 or 5 different women.
That is not. Got to go.
It's, right?
It
right.
Don't work like that.
So there's boundaries.
And nobody in that relationship is going to do everything while the other person sits on their butt.
Right.
Everybody has to contribute.
And so, you know, when people say, well, God, why did God give them this temptation in the garden of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Because in any relationship, you have to have boundaries.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted them to know that everything in that garden you can freely take of, but of this tree of knowledge and good and evil, you can't partake of.
Right.
Dr. G, help us out with that.
Well, you know, the whole thing is, when you go back and you look at that, and you're right, there had to be some boundaries, some kind of like, okay, you can do this, you can do that, but if you say that you love me or that you're going to worship me, then there are certain things that you cannot do if you're going to keep this relationship going. And it's just like with any human relationship, husband and wife. For Sister Gregory and I, be married with almost 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that she and I both know we cannot do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are things that she and I both know that we can.
Right.
Do.
Right. Right.
And it's built on trust.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We have to trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where the first man and woman were. They had to learn that and understand that there had to be a trust developed between them and God.
Right. And Sheila G, in developing that type of relationship, what has to be established?
Trust, love, understanding.
And so if Based upon God's idea of his relationship with us, he wanted us to have trust, love, and understanding within the boundaries that he set up. Now, this is the part that gets folk, Sheila G. It's that it's God's prerogative, because he's God, he's the creator,
right,
to set the parameters.
That's right.
So can we question God?
Why he did it?
Why he put the boundary of the tree of knowledge and good and evil?
No, he's the creator.
This is the sticking part. This is the part where people say, well, if God wanted to have a relationship so bad, why did he put those boundaries up? Why did he give them a possibility of screwing up?
Because he said he didn't want robots. He wanted them to worship him because they love him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted them to have that free will. It's just like you in a relationship. You don't want somebody there just because I said for you to be with me. I want you to want to be with me.
Right. And so in order for him to give you that option, now this is the tricky part, I don't want to get too deep. In order for him to give us that option, there had to be an option of obey or disobey.
Right.
Am I right on this, right. Dr. Gregory?
Right.
In order for you to have the option to be able to say, I want to love you because of just who you are,
right.
I have to have the option of not loving you.
Amen.
Just because you
are. Right.
Help me
yeah.
out. I get
yeah.
confused.
Well, no, you're right. You're right. And I mean, and it wasn't so much for God, but that was for us. I mean, if we really want a relationship and something that, you know, you were saying, now we can ask.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, we still have to get back to where we're supposed to be. Now, that trusting, it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got to be able to trust God, and God has got to be able to trust us.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with my wife. I've got to
right.
be able to trust
right.
her.
Right.
She's got to be able to trust me.
Right.
And so it's the same in that relationship between us and God. In order for the Lord to bless, in order for him to be able to give us, I mean, he's going to love us in
mm-hmm.
spite of.
Right.
But if you want your full measure of blessings,
mm-hmm.
then you got to do what he wants because he is God.
Right. And it's like, just like you said, that with my husband, yes, I trust him. He trusts me. We love, give, take, all that. But I do have the option to walk out the door.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I have the option to. And that doesn't make our relationship any less weaker. The fact that, yes, I can walk out the door and leave him.
Right.
Because we love and trust each other and understand each other. But that option, if I so choose to walk out
it's
and keep
still
going,
there.
It's still there.
Right. And the temptation.
The temptation
is, still there.
Is there, especially when he plucks my last name.
But I found in teaching, you know, about this relationship that God wants that ended up costing Jesus' life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that people say, well, God, why did he have to go through all that? All he had to do was
not
interject
the
tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
But if that option of knowledge of tree and evil, good of knowledge of let me read what
good
it says.
And evil.
Good and evil, right. if it wasn't there, then they wouldn't have understood the option that you had to be obedient to God or disobedient to God.
Right.
And their love and trust for him would not be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You would be doing it just because I told you.
Right, right.
Versus this is how you really feel. This
right.
is how you really want to be. I want to follow you. I want to be obedient. But I want to trust you. I want to do
right.
what you say. So how else would you, if you didn't know the other one, how else would you
right.
know that that is really what you want?
So is everybody, let's get someone from my studio audience, see if they're tracking. We don't want to move too fast on this. Get someone from the studio audience. See if the question is, do you understand why God will put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in there?
Put that option.
That option.
Come on.
They all laughing. They all laughing.
It was always my biggest question coming up. Why? I mean, if he knew what we were going to do because he knows everything, why did he even bother?
Right.
I asked that all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Why he even bother?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and so what we talked about tonight, is that helping you
a
little bit?
I mean, I've come to the point where I knew this now.
Mm-hmm.
I know it.
Mm-hmm.
But coming up, that was always my biggest question.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Why did he bother if he knew what we were going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard that as well, that it's like if he knew that we were going to go there because God knows our life and our destiny,
right, right.
Why did that allow it to happen? But like you're saying, is because he still wanted us to love him
mm-hmm.
unconditionally and understand him, even though we have a choice to go somewhere else. I go back to the relationship with my husband.
Right.
I can walk out that door
right.
if I so choose
it.
At any time.
But you know, while you're saying that, you know, again, it wasn't so much for God's side,
right.
but it was for us
mm-hmm.
to understand that we have the option, and if we choose that option to go that way,
mm-hmm.
then that's on us.
Mm-hmm.
But then don't look for him to pull you out of the mud later on.
Well, there's consequences.
Right.
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 So I have a question. If God knew all along, then why couldn't we just go through it without the pain?
Why not?
If God knew all along, why could we go through without the pain? Well, see, he wanted us to, he gave us the option to go through without the pain. But because man chose not to obey and be obedient to God, that's when pain came in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. It's the free will. It's sort of like your parents telling you, okay, don't do this, because if you do this, then this is going to happen.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm. Well, let me help you bring it home a little bit. Remember when you pulled the scab off your healing sore and you made it to bleed, and you knew that you shouldn't, but you went on and did it anyhow? And then when you got to the doctor's office and she looked at it, what did she say? That doesn't look good. So because you did that, now you're back on crutches.
So there's consequences. And so in any relationship, you will understand that there's consequences for not doing the right thing.
Yes.
There's consequences for the actions we deal with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's consequences for the actions that we deal with God. See, that's God's infinite wisdom.
Amen.
He understood us when he made us, but yet he wanted to ultimately have us to love him and trust him just because of who he is.
Mm.
And so he had to give us that option to either love him or not love him. Otherwise, we would just be a computer chip, and we just, I love God, I love God, I love God. But with this option that we can freely say, okay, this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to me as, and because he's revealed himself to me as a loving God, then because of that, I love him, and I want to have a relationship with him. Next person in the audience.
I was going to answer the question, well, kind of answer the question, why would God do the little Garden of Eden thing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing that it would probably be a test, mm-hmm. to see if you're going to disobey God or actually obey his word or,
mm-hmm.
you know, take the little advice from the serpent.
Because
mm-hmm. it was kind of like, if you really think about it, it's kind of like Abraham. It was kind of
mm-hmm.
a test
yeah.
of faith to see if he was really going to do what God said
mm-hmm.
or, you know, not do it.
Right.
I mean, even though he knows what's already happened, it's
mm-hmm.
still kind of a test of faith to, you know, see if you're really going to disobey God or honor God.
Right, right. Next question.
Okay, so if he already knows
mm-hmm.
if we're going to obey him or not,
mm-hmm.
like, to form the question. Okay, so we were saying that he already knows if we're going to obey him or not, right?
Right. He knows the beginning.
So then how is it a test if he already knows, like, for example, say my mom tells me to wash the dishes,
uh-huh.
but I'll disobey her
right.
and not wash the dishes.
Right.
But God already knew that I wasn't going to do it in the first place.
Right.
Then how was it a test?
No, the test part comes in, and let me help you to phrase your question. The test part comes in is to see if we're going to have the faith to believe God
mm-hmm.
and to do it his way.
Amen.
Where you would say, are you going to have enough love in your relationship in obedience to your mother to do what she asked you to do? And so the big test was having faith to believe God or to believe the enemy, to believe God or to do it our way. So you have that choice of doing it God's way, doing it my way, or doing it the enemy's way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the testing comes is on which one are you going to choose? You have a multiple choice. And that's what God gave us. When God made us, he gave us the ability to make those choices. He didn't make us where we were just, okay, I'm always going to do this. I'm always going to. He gave us the ability to choose, to rationalize, to say, okay, I want to follow God. Or he gave us the ability to say, nah, I want to do it my way. Or he gave us the ability to do it the way the crowd or the enemy says to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he made us. Why he made us like that is because he wanted us to love him freely without any pressure on us,
right,
to love him.
Right.
In other words, he wasn't trying to dictate his love to us. He just wanted to say, okay, here, I'm God, I'm love, and I'm making you in my image and my likeness, and I'm giving you everything that you need. You have to make the decision whether you want to obey me or not, or do it your way, or do it the enemy's way. And that's just the way he is. We got another. Mm-hmm.
While you're going back there, also to tap in on that, you know, when your mom tells you to go wash the dishes, now she already can tell by your body motion,
preach,
by how slow you move, as to whether or not you're going to do it when she say do it or not.
Exactly.
And so that test is not for her, but it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop the fact that she loves you.
Right.
But if you don't do it, then right, you're going to pay the price.
Right.
Exactly. We have Brandon Stewart from WSSC in the audience today.
How you
Brandon,
doing?
Do you have a question? Actually, yeah, I do have something to say. Okay, well, go ahead. Okay, I will. One of the things that I'd just listening to you guys, and I'm glad I'm here. One of the things I learned, too, because I know you were talking about if God kind of doesn't know, or actually if he knows everything and knows already, you're not going to do it. But I think also one of the things you have to look at is, too, is that for me being your age and to kind of growing into adulthood is like you base sometimes you need to go through things to help you grow, but also to also help you help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know one of the things I've done is that, well, my belief is that granted he knows, say he knows you're not going to wash the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
In some way, shape, or form, it boils down to you not really washing the dishes, but it's obeying your parent, obeying your mother.
That's it.
So
that's
granted,
it.
If you have to go through that to know the consequences, not only does that help you grow, but if you say, hey, you know what? Instead of it being you seeing it somewhere else where it's not washing the dishes, but somebody's parent telling them to do something, you can say, hey, look, I've been there. I've been where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone through it. I know. Because believe it or not, not saying y'all are old, but they were kids. They were our ages at once. You know what I'm saying? And granted, you may not like the way, well, let me put it this way. You may not like the way they tell it to you physically
right,
after you mess up or just emotionally yelling at you. But at the end of the day, your parents care for you or people who are older than you and wiser than you have done that. Because one of the things I always try to tell people that experience is very vital. It's
yeah,
a cruel teacher because
yeah,
what it does
yeah,
is it gives you the exam first and then the lesson.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just you know, that's how it is. So sometimes you have to go through it.
Right.
Then you backtrack and you say, okay, well, what have I learned by going through this? And in essence, that's what it is. So that's why I think it is that granted, God's like, you know what? I'm going to let her go through this. She'll be all right because I'm not going to give her nothing that she can't
right,
handle.
Right.
But the thing is that she needs to go through it. So when you learn, because think about it, when you're a little kid, how many of us tried to electrocute ourselves, put your finger in the socket? And some, my mom didn't say nothing. She said, I'm going to let him shock himself and let him realize it, you know? You know? And that's what it is. So sometimes they'll tell you, like, don't touch it. Okay, you want to touch it? Go ahead. Boom. Mommy, my hand, whatever. Didn't I tell you? You learned a lesson.
Exactly.
Now you know not to do it. And I think that's what you need to learn is that you have to go through it. So God, in a sense, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a test, but it's just something you have to go through. It's a test to basically say it's okay. We're going to have growth spurts, not really mistakes when you
right,
go through life.
Right.
They're called growth spurts because I only truly believe that it's a mistake if you don't learn from it. If
right,
you go through something, make a right, have a growth spurt, you've learned. So
yeah,
now you're not where you were when you made that mistake. You're a little bit wiser.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to you to take that information, take that knowledge
mm-hmm,
and share it with somebody else. If you're wise enough to recognize that, okay, I see somebody about to go down the same
right,
path that I went through a month ago, 2 months ago. Or I just had this conversation with my mother, and now I'm able to share with somebody so they don't go through what you went through.
Exactly.
Because I can tell you now, I've made it easy on my mother. I'll be the first to tell you because I listen. Because I've seen my friends go through things,
mm-hmm,
and I'm like, well, I don't really want to do that.
I know
you know,
right,
I don't.
I know
and
right,
if his mom dragged him down the steps, I'm sure my mom would drag me down the street. So I don't, you know what, I'm not going to do that, you know. But I've learned without having to go through it because I paid attention. Or had
there
somebody say,
go,
hey, look,
mm-hmm,
I see where you're going because I've been there and I've learned it. So I think that's why God allows you to go through things because he wants you to grow. Because remember, we're Christians. We're representing him. So you need to go through it because being a Christian, I think you said it in one of your sermons,
mm-hmm,
it's not easy.
Nope.
We're challenged every day
right,
because you also have to go through this world, but also still remember that shine. So people are going to test you. You're going to be tested. People are going to be like, oh, you're a Christian. You better walk the walk. You better talk the talk. Mm-hmm. People are going to, oh, you're a Christian. They're going to try to be evil to you, see if you turn the other cheek, say things to you that you're not going to like.
Right.
But you still have to try to remember that it's not about you. You're representing God.
Right.
You're representing Christianity, and you want people to follow in your footsteps. So actually, you actually have a bigger cross to bear than most, because you have a big responsibility to make sure that you also listen to your parents, but also remember to share that knowledge. And that's all.
And you know, Brandon, he hit on something there just now. He said he wants us to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Our attention span is very short, and it just takes a little something for us to get off track. So, you know, the Lord wants us to pay attention to every little detail that he tells us. You know, when you go back, when you look here in the Bible, where it says, and God said, let us make man. That right there tells us that there was more than one person working in the creation.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants us to pay attention to what he's telling us.
That's right.
Something that we all need to take heed of.
That's right. And so when we see and we ask that question and we ask God, what we're asking him, Sheila G, we're asking him from a finite mind.
Right.
Can you explain to me the difference between finite and infinite?
It's based off what you see, know, touch at the time versus the whole big picture, everything that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I say this to people all the time. They like to look back in their life. And they say, you know what, I could have done this, this, and this if I had done that. Or right now, I'd probably be rich if I chose that career. Or if I hadn't gone out with that Negro, I wouldn't have, this wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have had this issue. But you're basing that. I always tell people, I said, yes, you made those mistakes. But you're saying if I would have, could have, based off the knowledge that you have today. The things that you did back then, you did based off the knowledge you had then. So that's why we're finite, because we're limited to what the knowledge that we have at that point, whereas
it's
God
limited.
Sees
God is
all
unlimited.
Of it.
Unlimited. And so we're still looking at this verse from a finite mind.
Amen.
Correct.
A limited mind. We don't know the ins and out of all of this.
Mm-mm.
But God gives us enough from his infinite mind to let us know that he wanted us to be able to be a people that has the ability to choose.
Right.
To have the ability to say, I'm going to obey or I'm not going to obey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it God's way or I'm not going to do it God's way.
Amen.
Right.
And that's the whole relationship thing that we talked about from the beginning. The whole relationship thing is there's boundaries that God has set. In those boundaries, he wants us to trust him enough to recognize him, revealing himself to us in love, to follow and live within those boundaries.
Right.
And it wouldn't be. I don't think life would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be interesting.
Because we'd all be the same.
Everybody would be the
robots.
Same. Everybody be a robot.
No
everybody
robot.
Walking down the street doing their thing. I love God. I love God. I love God. You know, it would be. It's not what we were created. We were created in his image, in his likeness. God is he's multifaceted. He's got so many ins and so many outs, and he's given us that he didn't want a robot. He wanted us to have a relationship. He likes when we talk to him.
Mm.
Right.
He likes to see us grow. He likes to see us go through tests. He likes to see us interact with each other. He likes to see that. Why he created us, I don't know.
But
he
did.
But
you know too, and we're talking, that's not faith knowing everything as to why.
Right.
Faith is being able to trust God that he knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's good enough for us.
Right, right.
Right. Right.
So here in Genesis 2:17, this is where God is speaking to man. And he's giving man the boundary. And, you know, our parents talk to us and say, okay, I want you to come in, be in the house by 8 o'clock.
Mm.
If you don't come in, be in the house by 8 o'clock, there's going to be some consequences, blah, 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 blah. You know, all of these boundaries. And as long as you come in the house by 8 o'clock, everything's cool.
You're good.
You're good. Everything's cool. But let high and mighty
come on.
fast tail, breath and britches, try to come tipping through the door at 8:25. Talking about what had happened was.
What happened was.
Now, you got Big Brother trying to sneak through the window.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there too. Trying to sneak through the window. And little brother talking about, well, why did he get to come in late? I came in at 8:30, and he coming in tipping through the window at 10:00. That's not what?
Fair. Life's not fair.
And you saying, Mama and Daddy, that if we came in after 8:30, that we was going to get a beat down.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Mm. So when little brother is looking at Mama and Daddy, Mama and Daddy had laid the rules down and said, if you come through that door, if you let your little narrow cross that doorstep after 8:30, you're going to get a beat down.
All right.
Right? And little brother, he coming in 8:20, 8:25, he making it in. But the big brother come in, he cruising there at 8:45. Right? And go have the audacity to walk by the parents' bedroom like ain't nothing going there. And so little brother is looking at Mama and Daddy like, aren't you going to beat him down? You said these were the rules. Aren't you going to beat him down?
All right.
You said 8:30. If he can't, it's 8:55. Where's the beat down? Right? So now you have the people involved that are saying, are you going to do what you said you're going to do?
All right.
Are these rules, are they a double set? Is there a standard
double
for
stand.
Me
uh-huh.
or a standard for you?
That's right.
And so now the powers of the universe, we look at this verse, when God lays down his law, he says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. When Adam and Eve ate that fruit, and we'll get to that later on, right?
Come on.
And the powers that be said, oh, shucks. Is he going to hit him with 217?
Come on, now.
The powers that be in the universe.
Are they going to die?
They flash into 217. They're like, oh, here it comes.
You got to die.
217. And they looking at God. They looking at God right like this. What you going to do now? Them's your creative folk. Them's the one you said going to love you.
Come on.
Them's the one you gave a choice. What you going to do, God? God, what you going to do? You said you were going to kill him. No, he didn't say he was going to kill him. He said they were going to die.
He said
they were going to die. And so the whole universe is looking down at God and looking at us talking about when they going to die.
Come on.
They going to die. They looking like that. When they going to die.
Mm.
God set the boundaries, gave us the choice, and said, stay in these boundaries, but if you don't, you're going to die. And so now you have this dynamic set up of like, all right, God, now what you going to do?
Mm.
They done got into this mess.
You gave them a
choice.
They
done messed up your plan.
Right.
You gave them a choice.
You shouldn't have gave them a choice.
How you going to fix this thing up?
All right.
That's what you get for giving them a choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What you going to do now?
Mm.
It reminds me of the story of the preacher that was going out with on his wife with one of the newer women that came to the church, and she was wearing her hoochie dress. And he hooked up with her, and she came in the next Sunday and sat on the front row and crossed her legs.
Watch out now.
And looked at him, and he tried to preach and said, now what you going to preach on that? What you going to preach on that? And so that's the enemy talking about God.
Uh-huh.
You done gave them boundaries. They done went out there and tore their tail. That's
all
an
right.
old term.
Yeah,
that's
right.
an old
right.
term. Before they tell, that's old. That's some old folks. That old folks stuff. They done messed up. And so now they're looking and saying, God, how you going to fix this up?
Mm.
And so that's the relationship thing that God, he gave us the ability to have a relationship. He gave us the ability to not want the relationship. He gave us the ability to choose. And he put the boundaries. I don't know why God did it, but he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us the ability to understand when we messed up.
Right and wrong.
And when we learn that we messed up, that's when we really start trying to hide and start trying. Anybody ever messed up with the parents?
Mm.
He ain't trying to hide.
Yeah.
Make it worse.
Yeah. Mm.
It makes it worse.
Mm.
Start trying to cover it up.
It makes it worse. It does.
Start lying, and then you forget the lie you told, and you have to tell the other lie. Remember that lie? I'm not going to lie. Right.
No, you can't remember the lie.
But this is the relationship, and these are
the boundaries that we have in place, and
you're trying to teach us own relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. If we can set the stage that God gave the boundaries, are looking at God saying, "How are you gonna pull this off?
Mm.
How are you gonna pull this off?"
Remember, our end goal is to find
God.
But here. God is.
They're looking at it. How are you gonna pull this off? You said they were gonna die. They messed up.
How are you gonna get them out of this? And so we have to go through, and we have to go through the Bible. We have to find out how God put a plan into action in order to bring us back into proper relationship with Him, so that we can have the proper relationship with each other. Because if we don't love God and we don't know God, we can't love and we can't know each other.
Amen.
So that's the place where we're at. We're going to try to get some folks on the line to see if they can chime in on this with us real quick. Let me go to here we go. Let me go to 3494. 3494, you're on the air. Hello, 3494. Talking. What about 5666? 5666, you on the air? Hello, 5666? There? Let's go down to 7971. Hey, how you doing, 7971?
I'm doing good. I was listening to everyone. It's a broad thing to think about how God, He sets you up. It's a setup. It's a setup. And the setup is giving you a choice to see if you're going to be obedient to Him.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to make the right choices in life,
right?
And we all make choices, and sometimes they're the wrong choices. And then when you make the wrong choice, that's a consequence. It's a test that you can say it's a test or it's not a test. But I look at it as something that tests you to see how obedient you are to Him, whether you're going to listen to Him or you're going to listen to somebody else, or you're going to take it upon yourself to do what you want to do.
Right.
All right.
There you go.
See,
what do you think about God giving us the choice to either obey Him, obey ourselves, or obey the enemy?
What do you think about why he would do that?
Because I didn't quite understand what the question, but if you love Him, He's expecting you to follow Him. He's expecting you to live the life that He has chosen for you to live. And when you go the opposite direction, that means to Him that you chose not to follow Him.
Mm-hmm.
You chose either to do it what you wanted to do, or it was a bad choice that you made. And then when you make that bad choice in life, there is a consequences. And sometimes it's not so good. And it's a learning tool to get you to see the importance of being obedient to God. And what you do is not yours.
We thank you for your comments. We're going to try to get someone else on the line. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to try to get 9190. 9190, you're on the air.
Bingo.
Hey. Hey, Johanna.
It sounds like, you know, when you call the numbers out, bingo. Good evening, everyone.
So we're asking,
what do you think about how
God gave us the ability to either obey him, obey ourselves, or listen, obey someone else? What do you think about God doing that?
Well, one of the things that the Lord has blessed us with free will. So we pretty much have the flexibility to make our choices. And I'll pretty much be piggybacking on what everyone has said. We have choices. And every day that we wake up, the Lord has blessed us with choices. Now we can kind of do our thing and make the decisions based on what we want and deal with the consequences, or we can be obedient to God and his word and stay on track. And I think that really it starts with the beginning of your day. I know when I start my day, I ask the Lord to help me accept his will and to be part of his will and to be his will. And I know that when I do that, I stay on track with what he wants me to do. So it's you got to stay in constant prayer and constant focus. But I wanted to, I know some of the kids earlier today were saying, you know, about the dishes and things like that. Let me tell you guys, I promise you, and I'm telling you this because I'm older now and I appreciate what my parents have done for me, but what you do to your parents now, I promise you will get it 10 times worse. So if you're good to your parents, you're going to have good kids. But if you're not so good to your parents, I promise you that it will come back. I see it, and I see it with other people in my family, and I'm like, woo, I mean, you're getting what you did when you were growing up. But, you know, be obedient, and even if you don't want to, do it anyway to please God and to please your parents. And that's pretty much it. And Brandon also said about experiences. We go through experiences for a reason, so that when we do go through experiences, we will have victories at the end, and you can be a testimony to other people. So sometimes the Lord puts us through things just so we can appreciate the good times. So then when we do go through the good times, we can say, wow, you know what? I feel good about that. Thank you, Lord. You have blessed me. You have taken care of me. You have been watching over me. So everything is a give and take. So pretty much that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
all right.
you.
Let's see if we can get 7-8 on the line. Hello, 787.
Hello. Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey. Good evening.
Good evening. So, what do you think about God giving us the choice to be able to do what we want, do it His way, or do it the way someone else does? Yeah.
Well, with a free will, you subject yourself. You first want to do things according to God's will. There's a blessing in doing it His way versus doing it our way. When we do it our way, there's consequences for every action that we take in life. Some of them may be good. Some of them may not be so good. And with the free will, the choices that we make, they're lasting choices. So the choice that I would want to make now, since I'm older, and I'm wiser, and I know better, I'm going to choose God's way versus my way, because I would rather do it His way than later on have Him spank my behind.
There is,
you know, the Lord does spank you, you know.
Yeah.
You may not see it, but it does come around. It does come around. And like Miss Johanna and Brandon were saying about obeying your parents. You know, it's best to obey your parents. You may not always agree, but you can agree to disagree. Go ahead and do it, and the Lord will make sure that your days upon the earth will be longer, not shorter, but longer, because that's what it says in the Bible. So, you know, Lord does not lie. So, you know, what His word in the Bible is true. So that's why we need to obey our parents and do what they ask us to do. We may not always agree with them, but they're still our parents, and the Lord put them in charge of us until we're old enough to take care of ourselves, and still, they're still in charge of us.
Amen.
So, you know, that's the same with God. God is always watching. God is always there. There's nothing new under the sun. He see all. He know all. So when we stand before the Lord, we all have to give account of what we did right or what was wrong. So, you know, it's free will. It's something else. Free
all right,
will,
we
you know,
thank
it's something else.
Thank you
all right, have a blessed evening.
I have one comment from the studio audience.
I think that's a trick question. And you know why I think that's a trick question?
Why is it a trick question?
Because the comments that have come out, they kind of more like explain how we know the good and the bad of these that we are allowed to make. Uh-huh. But to me, your question was, why did he do it? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's something we will ever know because, like, as far as giving boundaries, parents give kids boundaries because they love them.
Amen.
Okay, so to me, that's the kind of love that sometimes don't seem logical when you start questioning God.
Right.
So the type of love that God extended to us in order to have us go through life with this free will, mm-hmm, is just the kind of love that we can't comprehend.
Right.
I don't think we can explain God like that.
You can't.
So I think you gave us a trick question.
It's a question that probes thought.
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm, people are thinking.
Right.
Philosophy.
And that's what we want to do. We want to
get you to thinking.
We want to probe.
Thinking.
We want to probe, you know, people to say, okay, you know, we're trying to get to why Jesus had to die, but we need to explore the things along the way. And so, not so much a trick question, but a question to get us to think, to really see if we can explain it, and to try to get a better understanding through trying to explain it. All right, we got a group with us tonight. We're going to call them the T-Nuts group.
All right.
We got the T-Nuts trio. And they're gonna bless us with a song tonight. What y'all singing tonight?
Let It Ride.
Let It Rise? All right. This is the T-Nuts group singing Let It Rise. Y'all hold on. We're going to close out. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's give a hand to our T-Nuts trio.
Amen.
All right, all right. We had a good start to our walk through trying to figure out why Jesus had to die.
Amen.
Starting in Genesis, so it was a good lesson. And we just thank everyone for tuning in. Thank everyone for everyone's participation. So go back this week and study Genesis, the third chapter, and we'll pick up from there on next week. But I just want to give everybody that probe, that thought, to say, hey, you know, what happened, what was going on, trying to get a good understanding, good basis for why Jesus had to die. And it started in the beginning when God said, I want to make man in my image and my likeness, and I want to have a relationship with him, and I'm going to breathe the life, and I'm going to give him boundaries, and he's still going to love me. She's still going to love me just because I am God and I am love. And that's what we're finding out about, and we'll find out more about this loving God as we go through to the point where he actually gave the ultimate love by dying on Calvary's cross. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to close out in prayer. I thank Brother Brandon also for music tonight. Amen. All right. Studio audience, give yourself a hand. Everyone on the phone line, so let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you, God, for truly, God, you have blessed us tonight to be able to gather around your word, God. God, we thank you for those that are in the studio. We thank you for those that are on the phone. God, we thank you for those that are on the internet. God, we just thank you, God, that your word is so powerful, God, that you can bring all of these things together tonight, God. God, we just pray that you would just continue to bless us with wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding. Oh, God, that we will be able to know you more, God, and know more about your love. And God, not only know more about your love, God, but learn to love you more, God. And God, even learning to love you more, learn to love each other more, God. Because truly, God, that's what you desire, and that's what you have commanded in your word, that we should love each other like you have loved us. And now, God, as we prepare to leave this place, but never from your presence, we pray, God, that you would bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless them according to their several needs, God, that they would come to know, God, that you are an all-sufficient God and an all-sufficient Savior, and you can provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And, Father, we just pray that you would grant everyone that is traveling mercy. And until we meet again, we say we love you, we praise you, and we give you all the honor. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everyone. Prayerfully, we see you or hear from you on next Thursday. And remember, there's nothing new under the sun. God bless you.